just pray now, just for the sermon, Lord. I just pray your blessing. I ask your protection, God. Father, it's really difficult for me to speak now, Lord God. So I just want to bring it and surrender it to you, Lord. God, I pray that your heart, Lord, and your love, God, will come, Lord, and change us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for the great price that you've paid, Lord, in Jesus' name, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. I just surrender to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I've shared before that every time, like when I had to do the offering, I felt like I wanted to vomit. And it continued for like 3-4 years and nothing has changed. But today I feel like that again. There's something that I feel I need to share, and it's going to come across quite, but I have to share it. So Wednesday morning, I'm driving to intercession early in the morning, and I see a train, and I get excited with the train, and I feel God is saying something to me. I'm not sure what it is. And while we're praying, I see the train is a steam train, and the intercessors are the guys who are putting in the coals into the oven to bring the heat. And it's burning, and because it's burning, this fire, the train is able to go. But I just felt God is saying to me that there's just smoke, because the intercessors are not praying. And because we're not praying, the train cannot move. And the train moves on two railway lines, grace and truth. It's unstoppable when it moves. And it will reach the destination, and it brings all these people with us. But this train cannot move because there's not power in the engine room. So I'm a bit late, but I'm going to still show you what I believe God is wanting us as a church to look like. So that is not pollution, it's the fragrance of praise that's going up to the Lord. But there's power in that train because the people are praying. And, you know, God says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all the nations. But, Theo, do you know how busy we are? It's work, it's traffic. I've got a baby in the house. Our baby's not sleeping. We're standing praying in the spirit, but nothing is happening. I've got meetings. I'm going to Johannesburg again this week. I'm coming back on Saturday. I'm tired. My wife is tired. She's got to work. We are busy. We have sport. Our children have to go to all these events. I've got to drop my kids off at 7:30 in the morning. We've got to pick them up. Then we've got to take them to this place and that place. And we are just so busy. We just don't have time to pray. There's not time. We're just too busy. And I believe many people here are just so tired. We're just tired, all of us. I really believe we're in a place. And now I still come and say, but we've got to pray. Say, oh, my neck is moeg. Ek kan nie bid nie. And then the kerk wil net hê ons moet goed doen nie. Ons moet werk. And now they ask us to every 6 weeks come and work in children's church. I cannot believe it. Do you know how busy we are? And it's true. We are so, so busy. And I believe in what I believe God is just saying to us, that rules without relationship will lead to rebellion. If we do these things for the kerk, it's the wrong intention already. We should do it as unto the Lord. But the fact is, we are all very tired. There's many things that we are doing, and the Spirit of the Lord brings life, but there's not life because we are worn out. We're just so, so tired. I don't know if anyone of you can agree. Many people are not sleeping. Many moms are not sleeping. Many moms try to sleep, but it's the baby. And then when they are able to sleep, they just awake. And now they can't sleep. And the fathers feel guilty because they can't help. And the baby can't yet do the bottle, so they cannot do anything. And I had this rule, because I know that the mother's instinct is so much stronger than anything. So if I could just make like I'm sleeping for just 2 seconds, she would jump up anyway. So that's how I got my sleep. So all the guys laughing now don't, because I got very sick with men when my second boy got born, because I just made jokes like, being pregnant, this wasn't tough for me at all. And then with my second boy, I got sick. I had that, you know, when I also felt like Lynette was feeling, so she laughed at me. But it was because I was wrong. We as men must help our wives. It's very important that we have to support them because we are part of this family, and we as fathers have an impartation into our children as well. That's very, very important. But I believe God is saying to us that we must rest, that we must come into His rest. Exodus 20 says that the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that's in it, and He rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. God wants us to rest, to come into His rest. Now, Tian has been on my case for 15 years on this area. I finally clicked it. I need to rest, because I'm not good on rest. I like to do things and accomplish things for the Lord, and you know that this is who I'm at. But if you now want to go and take the Saturday off and go to church on Saturdays, just remember it's 6 days that you must work and the seventh day you must rest. So you can't then take 2 days off if you want to take that very strict. So be careful. If you want to do Sunday on Saturday, you've got to work on Sunday if you want to do it according to the rule. But Jesus said, Sabbath was made for man and not man for Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. Jesus was risen from the dead on the Lord's Day, on the Sunday. I believe the early Christians had church on Sunday to separate them from the Jews. So if you want to have church on Saturday, that's fine. But we're going to have church on Sunday because we believe that the Sabbath is in Jesus. So I just want to put it out there. If you want to know more, we can talk about it afterwards. But we are so busy. We are so busy. And I realize, after speaking to many people, that many people who are so busy are not spending time with the Lord. They're not getting time to read the Bible. They're not getting time to pray. They come to church now and again. And what is happening is the fathers are trying to support the moms. And the moms are doing this because they're not sleeping. And anyone who's sleep deprived gets very angry. And even if it's a sweet little person, they can get very, very, very angry when they haven't slept for 5-6 months. They sleep 1 or 2 hours, even longer, some people a year, 2 years, and they sleep 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and the sleep is interrupted. So they are tired, and the husbands don't know what to do. The marriages are taking strain. They're trying to help, but they don't know how to, and they try, and now what happens is the wives are starting to give instructions to the husbands. Yeah, you must so doen, you must do it this way, and you must, the wind moet uitgeskit word, and nou, you're doing it verkeerd, and you are so nervous because you're not doing it right. So it's there, and you hold the koppie moet reg vastgehou word, and you're doing all these things, you're doing it wrong. Eventually you say, do it self. And then, and you scream at one another, and now you've got to go and do the offering at church as well, or you've got to go and preach, and you, more brothers, and it happened many times to me, where out of a fight, driving to work, to church, we're fighting because of the children, and because of we are just ungodly people, I've got to go and do the offering. And then I feel so guilty, and then afterwards, even in cell, I had a boy. He was 3 years old, and he was 2 years then, and I had a baby in the house. I was still cell leader. We started the church here. I would do all the scheduling for who's on duty. I would lock up. I will unlock. I would do all those things, and my wife was sitting with a pop barbecue and a two-year-old in the house. But I just felt I'd do it as unto the Lord, and God will come through. But it didn't happen that way because we were fighting most of the time. We were just so under pressure. So I understand the pressure that all of us are going through. So we're not getting time to spend time with the Lord, and the order in our homes get distorted because we're not spending time with God. We are angry and we are fighting with one another, and the wives are giving the men instructions, us instructions. So what we do is we start now submitting to the wife. Okay, wanneer moet ek dit doen? Wanneer moet ek dit doen? And now the order is completely wrong. And the children are everything in the house, and the mom doesn't hate the father because he did it to her. And there's no time for the Lord. So the houses are taking tremendous strain at the moment. But I also believe that many of us are so busy. Sundays, no, verskoon my, but we go and do the August, and we do this race and that race. And I'm seeing cell leaders in our church that comes to church once a month. But you are responsible to lead people as to the Lord, but I don't think we can come to church once a month. We don't make a priority, and with children's church, they sign in and sign out, so we see which parents come to church often and who don't come, and you can see a correlation between it as well, because there's a priority for the Lord or not, that I believe God is really speaking to us that we should get right. But the fact is, if we ask anything, if the church says that, and you do it because you have to do it, it's dead works. And it means it's like tithing, and you're angry because you have to tithe. Then rather do not tithe. Don't give your money if it's not unto the Lord, because I'm glad to do this for the Lord. Then don't serve, don't do anything, just rather backslide. It's safer almost, I believe. So people are busy, but I believe our priorities is wrong. We're not spending time with God. We're not resting in the Lord. We are so busy with so many things. We do our shoppings on Sundays. We do and we go and do all these amazing things, but we never come to a place where we rest in the Lord. And I believe our children are taking the strain. I believe our marriages are taking the strain. I believe society is taking the strain because we are not resting in the Lord. And I believe God is wanting to change it, because the kingdom of God is all about God first. And then it's my husband, wife, the marriage. And then it's my children. And then it's work or ministry. It's not ministry in place of God. I do the things for God. If you do ministry, it's because of God inspiring us to go out and wanting to do those things. So for me, I had a crazy 2 weeks. Every time we do Holy Spirit in Bible school, there's always hectic action afterwards. And this was no exception. And then I had to do... In Umzamo, I preached and I did Encounter One. I was just going to do Salvation, but I ended up doing the Holy Spirit as well. And then there was tremendous action, because I realized it was just so much demonic stuff that came in. And I was running around. I had two guys with me. Their eyes were that big. I must be honest, my eyes was that big as well. And I'm running around praying, and people are manifesting all over the place. And I'm seeing that God wants to do amazing things. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon people. He wants to change lives. He wants to do amazing things. But we are too busy to come to that place where we can hear what is it that God wants to do. So I met, Encounter One. I had this awful fight with my mom. Yeah, it was the worst one. I'm feeling so condemned, and I've got to present Encounter One, and I feel like a worm, and I'm speaking about sin, and I'm just repenting while I'm speaking. I don't know if the guys realize it, but in spite of me and my weakness, people got saved, people's lives were changed, people got filled with the Spirit of the Lord, and I felt so bad because of who I was, because I failed myself, I failed the people there. It was hard for me. It was hard, but God is good. And then I had this encounter, and where some people spoke to me, and I was very excited with what I was hearing. The next day, Lynette and I prayed together, and I was crying before God. I said to Lord God, thank you that you love me. But then I said, I love you. And I realized that I went through all these things because of my love for Jesus. And then I just broke out crying. It was like, and Lynette was just not sure what to do with me because I was just crying like a baby. And then that night, something bad happened again. So I said, Lynette, I just need to go. I'm going to go and watch a movie. Now, I'm a bit of a soldier at heart. I was in infantry school and then 3-2 battalion. So when I hear there's a good army movie, that's my one weakness. I want to go and watch it. So I went to go and watch The American Sniper. I just want to repent to you guys. I watched the movie where they're swearing in, but I enjoyed it. It was really good to see. But I saw this guy, this man, this American Sniper guy. It's me. Only they swear a bit more than the pastor do. what happened with this man is he was a sniper because he wanted to protect the guys that go out. And he did more kills than any other sniper in American history because he was driven by the fact that he didn't want people to die. So he was just so determined, and when other guys that had no kills, he'd add 6. So I knew that's what was driving me most of everything. I wanted people to be saved. And I saw people around me dying, and it was radical for me. And what I saw, this man was sitting watching TV, but there was nothing on, and the anger and the things that he was dealing with, and I knew this was me. And I saw what Lynette is seeing when she was accusing me of things. I could see what she was seeing. I saw it, and I knew. And the next morning, I said to Lynette, I repent. I'm sorry. I see what you are saying. And I ask you, and I want to say to you, my family is most important. You are most important. Then my family. We went away to the Cedarburg Mountains, and I had a good fall, so I feel like a man again. But I know one thing. We get so busy with the things of God that we're not coming into the rest of God and doing because we're hearing God. We're doing things because we don't want to lose people anymore. And maybe if you're new here, I had 12 friends that died in a question of a year and a half. People I knew really well. And it was hard. It was tough. But one morning, we're praying intercession, and Heinrich starts crying. And he's just, I can see the Spirit of God comes upon him. And he says, Lord, where's the watchman? Where's the watchman? And I'm on my knees repenting. God, I repent because I've not been praying. I've not been praying like I used to. I've been taken out so radically that I've not been praying. So as he's screaming, I'm repenting. So then I heard this voice just saying to me, I'm going to shake you. And I had 2 scriptures. I read it and I had a story, and this is my sermon. Just before I'm talking about the shaking, there's a guy called Jonathan Kahn. He's talking about the Shemitah. The Shemitah is Leviticus 25. 6 years you will work the land. The 7th year you will rest. It happens 6-7 times in a row. Then there's a year of Jubilee. So it's 7 times 7, 49. The next year is a year of Jubilee. That year of rest, people must trust God and live off the land. But the land must rest. And what this man says, according to what he understands, because he's a Messianic Jew, he's also a pastor, that the Israelites did not honor the Shemitah. So they went into exile for 70 years, because for 490 years they didn't do this. So 70 years, 70 Shemitahs, they were taken out of the land, that the land could rest. And he says in America, they have came to a place where they said they dedicated the country to the Lord at this church that is at Ground Zero. When the Twin Towers collapsed, there was a sycamore tree that protected this church, that it didn't collapse amongst everything else. This church is still standing, but 3 people after that spoke and said that this the sycamore tree got destroyed, but we'll plant a cedar. The stones was taken away, but we'll bring in bigger stones. Three people did that. You can go and Google him and listen to what he's saying. It's very, very interesting. But what he's saying, because America dedicated the things to the Lord and they're not coming into the Lord's rest, this judgment, this blessing that's supposed to be a blessing becomes a judgment. So what he says is in 1967, there was a Jubilee year. It was the Jubilee year according to the Hebrew calendar. Israel took in Jerusalem that year. 7 years later, on the Shemitah, that seventh year, the 1973 OPEC price shock happened in 17 October, where the oil price raised from $3 to $12. Imagine that, $12. Wow, it would be amazing even today. But 1980, there was a recession 7 years later. 87 was Black Monday on 19 October. The stock markets collapsed from Hong Kong, Europe to America. 7 years later, 1994, the bond market crashed. 2001, 9 September, the planes against the Twin Towers. Twin Towers collapse. The next day, the markets collapse. And then 2008, Lehman Brothers got bankrupt September 15. And September 29, the stock market fell with 777 points in one day. Oof. And what he's saying is, it's the Shemitah in place. This year is the last one in September, October, and it will fall in hand with the blood moons. If you were here some time ago, I spoke about the blood moons that will fall into place. So, and then next year will be the year of Jubilee. So, what he is saying, I'm not saying I'm saying it, but he is saying that there is a shaking taking place. I heard the word shaking. The Shemitah means it's a blessing, but it also can mean a shaking. So I'm seeing God is saying rest 7 days. When the Jubilee year, on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement, you must blow the trumpets because it's a year, or the 50th year of Jubilee is holy unto the Lord. It's time to rest. So I'm seeing God is serious about the rest that we must come in. So I want to say, I think God is about to shake the world. If I just look at what these people are saying, I think so. I'm not saying the Lord says, but what I'm seeing, I believe it could be. So Haggai 2 verse 3 says, "Who is left amongst you who saw this house in its former glory? How do you see it now? Is it not as nothing in your eyes? Yet now be strong, O Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, O Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord. Work, for I am with you, declares the Lord of hosts, according to the covenant that I've made with you when you came out of Egypt. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not." Be strong. Be strong. Work. Be strong. My spirit is with you. Don't fear. Now, I've heard stories about Shofar right in the beginning, how radical it was. Paul Krier said to me, he wouldn't come to church if he didn't go to the river to go and repent first, because his sins got exposed every time he came to church. It was just radical days where people got healed and delivered all the time. So there was a radicalness for God. That was what we were like previously. People got baptized and saved. And I'm hearing in Stellenbosch at the moment, the evening service, there's about 900 people coming. There's about 100 people responding to the altar call. So God is definitely doing something in Stellenbosch and is doing something amazing in our church. I'm just hearing how people are getting excited about what God is doing. There's many people that's saying God is amazing, and I'm seeing that God is stirring people's hearts. Now, verse 6 says, "For thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations." so that the treasures of all nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. Now, I just want to, you can see the scripture, but in the Hebrew revival in 1947, people would be praying and the house would be shaking. And plates and things would be falling off the shelves as God just moved, as God just came in powerfully to come and do and shake things. In 1909, in Cape Town, two soldiers, John Kendrick and George Middlemiss, came to Cape Town as soldiers. They were seeking people to pray with, but they could not find one Christian out of 1,000 soldiers, people who prayed. 4 years they were seeking to start something. They were trying to pray by themselves. People were not seeking God at all in Cape Town. People were hardened. They said Cape Town was like the South, the Paris of the South. People were evil, wicked. Lots of immorality was prevalent in this place. Persecution. If they were Christians, the few that they were persecuted and they were ridiculed. Then in October 1809, an earthquake came that lasted for 8 days. And big boulders came from Table Mountain and destroyed many homes. Then the people just prayed and they ran to the Cape Flats. They were praying, seeking God. And a revival came because of that. People, hundreds of people got added to the church because God started shaking the people out of their comfort zone. And he shook them into a place where they came and said, God, it's you are all that we need. It's you that we, because everything around you is getting destroyed. And this revival continued to travel to the Eastern Cape. So there's something amazing that God did in his life. Now, Hebrews 12 says, verse 26, at that time, the voice shook the earth. But now he promised, yet once more, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens. This phrase, yet once more, indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made, in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus, let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. For our God is an all-consuming fire. God says, once more, I will shake. That everything that can be removed will stay. Or that will fall away. Everything that is not from God, all the priorities, all the things that is not from Him will be shaken. That what remains is God. The one thing that stands is our relationship, our priorities, is who we are, that we come to that place where we say, God, we worship you. Because God's kingdom is unshakable. In His kingdom, it doesn't matter how we are being shaken, it cannot move us, because in His kingdom, we are protected. Because His kingdom is unshakable. Therefore, bring acceptable worship with reverence and awe for our God. So that place is a place of surrendering. And you know, that morning when we woke up and Magdalene, they're doing that curses at our house with the woman, and she said to me, you know, it's so nice to hear, because our grandparents used to pray like that, and we could hear them praying, and it was so nice to hear people praying, but we were not praying. We were like, Yere, help, and we were crying, and we were just, but when we got from that, we knew, because we connected with God again, we knew we were fine. We were confident because something that God had done in our lives. So I just believe God is saying that when he shakes because he wants the priorities to become right, because he wants to be number one in our lives. And he wants the husbands to understand that my wife is number one. And the wives to understand that my husband is number one, not the children, and then the children, and then the work, and then the ministry. That time, family, is more important than working overtime. I believe that is why God is wanting to shake, that if we're working so hard, we can stand in faith that God can change our circumstances, because God, that's God's will. But we allow the devil to come in and to shake us, but we feel all these priorities is more important, because if there's no money, then we won't survive. But you cannot bring in the money. It's only God, because God is our provider. So I just sense that there's something that God is wanting to do. But then I continued reading Hebrews 13, and it talks about, says, continue. So out of this place, we bring worship to God. Now, therefore, continue with brotherly love. Show hospitality to strangers. Remember those in prison. Remember those who are mistreated. Do not love money. Be content with what you have. Do not be led away by diverse and strange teachings. Do not be strengthened by grace and not by foods. Don't make God doctrines of food. Go and read Hebrews 13. And then he says, let marriage be held in honor amongst all. And let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and the adulterers. So I'm just saying, God is saying, family, bring family back. Because when I shake and all these priorities is out there, I'm going to shake it until the priorities is back to God. It's like, God, it's you, it's my family. My family is so much more important than that job, that promotion, that income. God can provide all those things. My children is more important. It's more important that I spend time with my boys than praying for the sick. No, it's more important. I've got to grow, I've got to walk with these boys. They are important to God. My ministry starts at home. I can't have a legacy if there's not a legacy in my house. And this is what I really believe. And you know, there are times that that me as a pastor cannot be at all the events, because I've got to be with my family. My boys must know that they are number one in my life. And this is what I really believe is God is saying. He says, and you know, we many people get distracted. And I heard the story of a man who they were spiritual believers, but they got lost, and now they want a divorce. And I'm hearing this, and I ask, what happened? He said, we got too busy. We got too busy. Another girl, two girls, and just too busy. But they were spiritual. They were born again, they were baptized in water, they were baptized by the Holy Spirit, but they got too busy. Now they're wanting to divorce because their families and their priorities got out of sync with what God wanted to. Then it says, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. What can man do to me? When a shaking starts, that our confidence is the Lord is my helper. Because when we focus on ourselves, this will happen. But when we focus on God, we will stand, because I know who my God is. I have faith. I believe in Him. Doesn't matter what happens. No man can do anything to me, because God is my helper. I will not fear, because God, I know who my God is. And this is where I believe for us, that is the hope that I want to give. It doesn't matter what happens in the world, if the smita or the markets collapse, if you lose everything, that we have Jesus, because He is my helper. He will provide, even if He must bring manna, and we will eat manna every day for until the season is done. God is my provider. It's not the job. It's not the people that I know. It's not the business that I do. God is my provider. God is, I just need to get my priorities right, to focus and have faith in God and not fear and doubt and unbelief and all those things, and deal with it and deal with the brokenness. Many of us, all of us, are emotionally broken, so we can't grow spiritually because we need healing. We need healing. Our hearts must be whole that we can trust, because if there's emotional brokenness, we will never trust. We will always go, what did they do to me? And then fear comes in, and the devil comes in, and he takes us out. But there's a place that we can separate our problems from us and know that our God is a good God, because we know who He is. He says, do not neglect to do good and share what you have. Such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And then verse 17. I prayed about this, so I'm just going to put it out there. I'm not trying to get at anyone, but I really believe God is saying that we must get the order back in our homes and in our church. So, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls, as those who will have to give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. Pray for us, for we are sure that we have a clear conscience, desiring to act honorably in all things. Cell leaders, zone coaches, district leaders, pastors, regional pastors, this leadership. God says, obey our leadership. They're keeping watch over our souls. There's an order in that. It's the father is the lead, is the head of the home. The wife submits unto the husband as unto the Lord. There's order. The children submit to the wife. The child is not listening to the mom. The dad comes in and says, ek gaan vir jou brand. Julle moet luister vir mama. Don't make it difficult for them. There's order. And I really believe God is just saying, if there's things that we must pray, pray for the leaders, because they have to give an account before God. I know, and you know, I've said to Heinrich it so many times, Heinrich, I just know I'm going to stand before God and I'll have to give an account of every decision that I've made in this church. And it's hard. It's tough. Because many times things seem right, but I just sense, and I don't want to go because I'm missing it. I want to go because I wanted to be there where God is showing me. So I'm asking, and guys, this is what I'm sensing. And many times I will go against the feeling, and then later on I will realize, it was what I thought. That's what happened. So there's a place that I believe as believers we should pray. And as I'm going to be held accountable to you, I also believe we are going to be held accountable for the people that God has placed above us. Have we prayed for them? Have we covered them? Did we make it easy for them, or did we make life difficult for one another? Because I really believe God wants to bring order back into our homes and into the church, that there are structures, and these structures are not for... It's for oversight. It's not for under compulsion, but must be willingly. It must not be for shameful gain, but it must be eagerly. It must not be domineering, but it must be examples to the flock. This is what God's heart is for all of us. So then verse 20 of Hebrews says, now may the God of peace, the God of peace, the God Shalom, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do his will, working in us which is pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom we be the glory forever and ever. Amen. So may God equip all of us that we will not do what is important to us, but what's important to God. Because many times, and just the word that Tina's brought, traditions will tell us it's good. But it's not what the Holy Spirit is saying. And we must learn to hear and connect and be obedient to what God, the Spirit, is saying to us. And not what we think and what traditions are speaking to us. There's always different voices speaking to us. And we must get to filter those voices out, that we hear God's voice. Because when the shaking happens, the protection is leading, being followed by God, leading his example. So I want to end off with this. And now there was this Bible school student that really blessed me, just the way God was doing in their lives. And she and her husband, God is doing an amazing thing. And then she said this revelation that she had. So it's she that gave it to me, but I knew that it was for my sermon. Moses speaks to God. And he says to God, God says, you are my friend. And God says, but God, if I have favor in your sight, please show me your ways. And then God says to him, Exodus 33, verse 14. He says, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. I believe this is the answer for the times where we are, the presence of God. His presence will go with us, and he will give us rest. Isn't that amazing? Doesn't matter what comes, what shakings, what waters, what disasters. My presence will go with you and I will give you rest. That we seek the presence of God. Because in his presence, God will set right the priorities. The things for the Lord will be put in place and we can follow God and what God wants us to do, and we can rest in him. So I want to encourage you that we spend time with God, that we spend time in His presence. Lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag, bid elke dag, bid elke dag. Lees jou Bybel, bid elke dag. Praise, sing songs to the Lord. Dance before God. Seek His presence, because we get changed in the presence of God. Teach our children to seek the presence of God, because the times that we're going into, I believe it can get very bad. But where is our priorities? Is our priorities number one, God? And then the last scripture is, maybe if Yanni is still here, but Matthew 11 verse 28 says, come to me, all you are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come to me. Come to my presence. I believe Jesus is just saying, in my presence, I will give you rest. So, you know, for me, I shared maybe with you, but last year at intercession, many things, amazing things happened to me in intercession, but I was like really down. And Henny Swart, he said to me, Theo, you must go and sit in the hot seat and we want to pray for you. And I'm in that place already. And he prayed and he spoke prophetic words over me, and I just cried. I cried. But something that God did, and I've almost got deliverance there, amazing deliverance. And then there was a time that Heinrich preached, and I came forward and I asked him to pray for me, because I'm just so tired. I just can't take this burden anymore. And he said to me, come. And he pulled me closer, and I'm standing like stubborn. And he takes his hand behind my head and he puts it on his shoulder like this. And I'm trying to keep my pose when the Kazuki pastor. So now he starts shaking and he starts crying. And I'm standing there and I'm like, now I'm crying everything that I have. And I'm crying and I'm crying and I'm crying. And he's crying and he's speaking these prophetic things over my life. And I'm just so grateful, but I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. And God is doing amazing thing in me. And then after like 10 minutes, it felt like 2 hours, he leaves me and he takes tissues like this. And he's taking one and he's wiping his tears off and he gives me one. And the worship guy stands here and they go like, you know, they're trying to make as if nothing happened. But we're both very emotional. But I got deliverance right there. I just came to Jesus. Lord, change. I can't even. But I needed rest. I needed to come into God's rest. Just going to the Cedarburg Mountains, just reading, opening your Bible, coffee. Just read the word. Go and cycle. Just God, Lord, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just to come into His rest. Lord, I love you, God. I love you, Jesus. So many things that happens to so many people, but you are in control. Faith, just believing in God, believing in the good things of God. So I want to, it's just an encouragement. That very first song that you did was on the presence of the Lord. If we can just sing, and I want to ask the parents to go and please go and fetch your kids, and the rest of us going to sing a song. But the parents, if you can please go, I'm sorry for this. I just want to pray, because I don't want them to be held that long. But if anyone is here that needs prayer, you're going through a strain, you're going through a shaking, you just need someone to hold you and cry with you, I want to do that for you. For the rest, may God really bless you. May God's life be upon you. And I really want to encourage you to spend time with God as a family, to really come to hear what God is saying to all of us. I just want to pray for us. Father, thank you for your goodness, your mercy, your love, Lord. God, thank you, Lord, for every person who's taking strain. But God, thank you that I believe you are shaking us because you want us to get our priorities right, to get you number one, Lord. And Father, I want to repent, God, that we've been neglecting, God, you. And Lord, we are doing so many things for you, Lord, but we're not spending time with you in your presence, Lord. And God, we are thinking many times that doing things for you is the same as spending time with you, Lord. And we grow to a place where it becomes dead works. It means nothing, not even to you, Lord God. It just brings destruction. It brings rebellion, Lord God. And I just want to repent of that, God. But Lord, we pray, Lord, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there will be life, Lord, in Jesus' name. God, thank you for every person. And we just want to pray your blessing, God. And God, have grace with us because we are busy, Lord, and it's legitimate, Lord. We have busy schedules, Lord God. And we ask you, God, please help us with this, Lord. Show us, because there's no condemnation for us who are in Christ Jesus, Lord. There's no guilt, Lord God. There's no shame, Lord God, because we are busy, Lord God. It just means we are part of a fallen world, Lord God. But Lord, you have brought grace, God. You have brought favor, Lord God, on your people, Lord. And I pray that you will do miracles in our lives, Lord, that we can have time with you. And God, even when we fly, that we'd rather read the Bible than watching movies, Lord God. Just help us with small things that we can do, that even while we're traveling, we can come into your presence, Lord, and become vessels for you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we just stand?